Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to Get the Table, another wrestling roundtable discussion podcast with myself, Adam Wilborn, one of the Dadley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, and Adam Cleary from What Culture, discuss another burning wrestling book. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, we have interviews, more roundtable discussions like this one, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Sidgwick and Cleary, and also very pleased to say we are joined by one half of the Young Bucks, because it's a new book. All about AEW. It's called Becoming.
Hang on, do the thing all in the middle.
Now we've got both of you.
Do the thing in the middle.
They're the new books. They're two new books. Yeah. They're available at whatculture.bigcartel.com. But we're here today to talk about Becoming All Elite, the rise of AEW. Michael Sidgwick's brilliant new book. Sidge, tell me more about this, where the idea came from and how the process got started.
It was given to me by the bosses, so thank you very much for them. It's something that I've always wanted to write since the inception of the promotion. It's such a fascinating story, which I've hopefully covered adequately throughout. But the idea was presented to me by the bosses. I gave them a pitch of how it should go, and it was greenlit. And I spent virtually all of 2021, when I wasn't recording, great podcasts, which you can obviously listen to wherever you get your podcasts from, writing it, honing it with the beautiful and wonderful help of Adam Cleary, who I will put over in more detail imminently. But yeah, that's pretty much how the process started. And it was great to write. I really enjoyed it. It's something I'm obviously very passionate about. Dare I say I'm really quite good at analysing the product, and it's possibly my best written work.
Tell us about the process from your side of things then, Cleary.
It's exactly the same. I was just minding my own business one day. The bosses went, Sidgwick's doing a book. Can you edit that? And I was like, I've got a lot on. And they were like, we'll do it anyway. So it's fine. No, honestly, like we did, I read through it when I think you were about three or four chapters in, and straight away I was just like, well, this is going to be, it's going to be something, this like. We did Developmental Hell, which was you did the NXT book, which went down really well. I wasn't in the process for that one. But by and large, like it sold really well. The feedback was excellent on it. So it was obviously a no-brainer once AEW got maybe 2 or 3 years down the line to do something similar. And yeah, not to suck you off or anything, but like I've read this, I've read it cover to cover, I've read every single word of it, and it's really good. I said to Cedric, I actually think I'm probably the perfect target audience for this because I am someone who is very familiar with AEW. I know everything that's gone on there. I followed all the shows, but I don't watch Dynamite every single week. I don't know every single minute that happens. I'm not really in on sort of like the minutiae of all this, that, and the other. So in theory, I should be picking this up and not really reading a lot I don't already know, but every chapter there was stuff in it which not only like added insight but added context, stuff I was familiar with, which really helped flesh out like a lot of the reason why things have happened in AEW, a lot of like how it's gone down, its impact on the wider wrestling world. Like I thought I would just be reading this purely to make sure it didn't go out with any glaring problems with it, but I actually really enjoyed it. It taught me a lot about a company I already thought I was quite well familiar with. Not like not anywhere near as, like, you know, on your level, but I didn't think there'd be much I could learn about it. And yet, even though it's only been going 2.5 years, so much I didn't know.
It's something that, you know, it's very stressful. The final stage of all this is no doubt
the worst.
It's incredibly tense. But as much as this has come as an idea from the bosses, this is a real, I know, having read bits of it and spoken to you about it as the process has been going along, how much of a passion project this is for you.
Absolutely. Before I delve into that, I just want to put Cleary over in kind. I tasked my editor with a certain objective. I've got a tendency to Sidgwick things when I write. I will add in a sentence too many. I will add in an adjective too far. I will basically try and overcomplicate things. I'm not the cleanest of writers. I told Cleary, look, you need to de-Sidgwick about a good 20,000 words of this. And he did. He pinpointed exactly, this is unnecessary. You don't need to add that in. And he took a 8 out of 10 book into a 10, which you should buy But no, his guidance was crucial. A lot of work has been put into this from both sides. So I'm really appreciative of my editor. But yeah, a passion project is right. AEW, across its range, how meaningful it is, how exciting it is. It's probably my favorite wrestling promotion ever. And if that's recency bias is a good thing. It means you're feeling things. It means you're into it. It means you're not totally dead inside. Like, I love peak New Japan resurgence. Mm-hmm. That's phenomenal. I loved the 90s All Japan Pro Wrestling scene as well. But in terms of a weekly episodic product with range, with passion, with creativity, with really thoughtful, purposeful booking, some of it's really brave and ambitious in terms of the Hangman Page mental health arc, I genuinely think it's the most fun I've had watching a pro wrestling product over its 2.5 year lifespan, and hopefully I've covered that and contextualized it adequately.
Well, speaking of covers, Adam Cleary,
hey, there we go.
Tell me about this. And also, I mentioned a little bit about this in another podcast that we're doing, talking about the 606 wrestling matches before you die.
Also available from whatculture.bigcartel.com.
Indeed. Is that difficult? Like, in terms of, I know you're trying to help him, but it's a friend and a colleague, and balancing that and saying, you know, you're kind of waffling on about something that you're he clearly
enjoys.
All
the waffle's gone. All the waffle is gone.
And tell us about this excellent cover that we've got
as
well.
I think we just had a chat at the start and I was like, look, they've asked me to look this over. I think I get what you're trying to do with it. And we sort of like discussed what he wanted it to come out like, what is sort of the goals were, the story he was trying to tell. And I just sort of like went off that brief. Like, I knew what he was trying to do with the book. So when I was reading it through, if there was stuff that I thought was maybe extraneous to that goal, I was like, look, I don't think if this is where you're trying to get to, I don't think maybe you need to go this way, or this doesn't need this much detail, or maybe flesh this out instead. So I guess, yeah, like, obviously when it's your mate and your colleague, it's obviously a bit difficult because I don't want to be like, hey, this sucks. But like, mercifully, I'm quite blessed in this job to not work with people who suck. So it was a pleasure to edit it and to work with him on it. And like, you know, he wants it to be good. And he had this really clear idea in his head of how he wanted that book to come out. So I don't think at any point there was ever any problem with going, look, I'm trying to help you get to that. This is not what I think the book should be, because I'm not the one writing. I'm not qualified to write this book. I'm just going off what you want the book to be. So if we're working towards that same goal, like, it's fine. As for the cover, you can't turn the camera around, but Phil's at the back pressing all the buttons. It's my concept for a cover, but this beautiful explosion, this beautiful color effect, I had one go at that on Photoshop and just noped out of it. I was like, there's no way in hell I could do that. So I went, Phil, can I give you just a tiny little job, please?
A little Easter egg into the cover process.
Okay.
Okay. Which gave me an absolutely gigantic panic attack.
It's all in good writing, 120,000 words, but it's like, what do you stick? What's represented visually of all that?
Well, we've taken the color splash from the original Dynamite marketing. On the limited, I think, Photoshop-esque document that Cleary used, the nearest thing to it looked remarkably similar to the NXT 2.0.
I knew you were going to say that.
This was quite funny, this, because I did a mock-up of it.
I shat it.
I did a mock-up of it. I was like, look, I'm just going to give you a rough idea of what I want the cover to look like. And I did try to stress, this is not the finished version. And it wasn't a powder explosion I used for the mock-up. It was more like that NXT color paint splat.
Like paint splat, yeah.
And I stressed, it'll look more like AEW, don't worry. And I think both you and the bosses looked at it and went, you know that noise a mechanic makes when they're desperate trying to get money out of you? Like, I was like, no, no, like, they were like, the colours will be different.
I genuinely thought it was just,
All I wanted to get across was, this is where the title will be, and this is the picture we're going to use, and this is the overall look. And everyone's just like, it's Bear NXT, that, mate. I was like, yes, I'm aware of that. I'm aware of that. But I've still got that on my computer somewhere. We might put that up.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
It's a fascinating topic, though, to cover, Sige. I mean, literally, it says here on the back, not to give too much away, All Elite Wrestling should not have existed. You write it on this blurb on the back about the fact that, you know, WWE, by the time that AEW was getting started, had created a monopoly and had potentially enough money to buy out anyone who wanted to create competition. And yet, Cody, Omega, the Bucks, they had a different perspective, and you know, it's all well and good to sit there and look at them now, and they've got the backing of a billionaire, etc., etc. But that, I mean, the rise of not just AEW, but the rise of the elite is what forms a large part of this as well, because it's all well and good writing about it now and saying, look how great they are, look how good All Out was, or, you know, Hangman Page, or whatever you want to talk about. You have to start somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. This is possibly the corniest thing I've ever said. One of the reasons why I love, and I think a lot of people have really gravitated towards AEW, and it's got an incredibly passionate fan base, and not all of whom are going to be happy with some of the words I've written, because it is critical when it really needs to be.
Yeah, that's actually worth stressing, by the way. This isn't just like patting them on the back for 120,000 words saying what a good job they've done. Like, it goes right back to like how the groundwork was laid, how a lot of the territory system led into this, how then WWE wanted to manipulate that by using their own developmental system, how they killed a lot of the territories. Like, there is a good bit of grounding in this that helps you understand why AEW was able to exist in the first place, rather than just, hey, one day these guys met and decided to start a promotion. Like, it's not just the history of AEW, it's the history of everything that led up to that as
well. Which is the good thing about this, and Cleary sort of alluded to it earlier, about you don't have to be someone who's been a day one AEW fan to appreciate and enjoy this book. And you still don't have to be someone who watches AEW necessarily on a weekly basis. This is almost encapsulating everything that's happened to bring us to this point.
Yeah, to an extent, it does double as a history of modern American professional wrestling, because the context of AEW's formation is not only fascinating, but it's just so difficult for a company like that to perform. The television industry hated professional wrestling, despite it traditionally bringing in really historical numbers since the advent of cable. So it was really difficult for the promotion to launch on that basis alone. But WWE monopolized that industry. They realized that there were some of the changes that are covered in the book were starting to transform the wrestling scene underfoot in WWE. They reacted to that by honing in on the hardcore fan with the launch of NXT. But as great as it was in its heyday, it was still ultimately a sports entertainment product, and it had the attendant polish and the lack of artistic true expression. And this is, again, just to circle back to my original point, this is possibly the corniest thing that I've ever said, but ultimately the story of AEW is a victory for art over content. WWE might have recruited the personnel from the independent circuit that informed All Elite Wrestling and gladly continues to do so, but they just never acknowledged the spirit and the expression and the creativity that ultimately makes a pro wrestling performer. These people are artists, and I hope I've done their art justice, but that is a big key part of the book.
I've been lucky enough to have this around the office, obviously, and glance at elements of it. I'm so excited to really get into it. And you just look at these chapters, and, you know, it starts off with the origins of Bullet Club and Omega and Bucks and Cody and what have you. But it's the, when it really gets into, like, I mean, the fact there's a chapter just called Paradigm Shift. Fascinating. I mean, I'm giddy.
I really enjoy it. I was so tempted to be like, you know, you need to simplify these chapter headings because they don't like really, but they're good. They're really good. Looking back at it now, I'm glad we didn't change them.
Like, I know what to expect from that, but like you say, it's just almost condensed. What was like some of the challenges with fitting everything that's happened into only 120,000 words?
Yeah, like,
Was that the final count in the end?
120,000. Just we over. Stripped it down from 135,000 words because among those shedded, stripped out 15,000 words, I think I went too far on certain match reviews, and I needed to get the context across, but more succinctly. So that was a bit of a challenge. I'll tell you what the biggest challenge in terms of writing the book, and thank you for asking and in fact pre-approving that question because. The thing about AEW is that it shouldn't exist for reasons I've just covered very briefly. But you have to acknowledge that it exists as a reaction, frankly, to how subjectively bad WWE was in its modern history and, you know, objectively like in decline. Mm-hmm. So I kind of had to, I wrote it from the perspective of someone who can actually watch this product and really enjoy it, but with a critical and analytical bent, okay? Mm-hmm. But the big challenge was this company is formed because a lot of people got fed up with how rubbish WWE was. Mm. And that's a plain and simple fact. But putting what's essentially a fact, but also a subjective opinion across was really quite difficult. So I had to say, look, WWE was bad. A lot of factors went into forming AEW. How do I say, our WWE is a bit rubbish for years and the overpushed Roman Reigns and the promos were scripted and everything without giving anything away. Right. You know, there's this episode of The Simpsons when Homer gets really clever because they realize that he had a crayon stuck up his nose.
Yes.
And then the crayon comes out and then he goes around to Flanders' house and he puts like a piece of paper under his windscreen wiper and said, sorry, Flanders, I've accidentally stumbled upon a formula that just nullifies the existence of God. So your whole life is completely wasted. I've stumbled across objective proof that WWE is bad. And that was my lead in. So look forward to that excerpt.
One other thing I wanted
you
to
ask me about the hardest part. Of
well, yeah, what was the hardest part for you?
That. Dealing with that.
One thing I wanted to ask you about as well is, was it also difficult not only writing this whilst AEW's happening, if that makes sense, i.e. you can write about how good a match or a wrestler or a storyline is, and then the next week, I mean, it hasn't really happened too much, thankfully, with AEW, but it's all a bit... You know, there is the potential for everything, as always in wrestling, to sort of crash and burn. Was that difficult? And also, when I, as an idiot, thinks about someone writing a book, I picture them just going into a room and then emerging months later with a book, rather than you trying to spin the plates of also, you know, writing ups and downs for, I don't know, SummerSlam or something for the site, or doing all the podcasts you do with me. I don't understand how you get in that headspace where you can go, right, I'm going to bosh out... 5,000 words today on the niche area of AEW that I haven't covered yet.
Yeah, it was a lot easier before you returned to the office, quite frankly.
Yeah, that's fair.
But, you know, I'm pro.
It wasn't everything, weirdly.
A little bit, but he's helped enormously with the morale. No, it was a challenge. This is, it's going to sound like markish or like over-earnest, if you like, but the issue with trying to find an end point to this book, realistically, was that AEW kind of produces landmark, iconic moments with far more frequency than it's like they should.
Yeah.
My original
book's finished and we've just had literally the day at time of recording CM Punk and MJF with an all-timer promo at the start of Dynamite.
Absolutely. Like, the more I realised I'm going to have to end it at some point, and then these things kept happening like week after week after week, like with All Out 2021, it's like, oh, I was going to finish it before that, but how can you not include it? So that was kind of a challenge to find an end point, particularly since... You know, it's just the infancy of the promotion, realistically. Mm. Like, we want this thing to evolve and to become even better, and to become a mainstay in the history of North American pro wrestling. So finding an end point was difficult, but I arrived at it, leaving scope a few years down the line now for a sequel.
This is what I was going to ask about a sequel. I'll ask you more about that in a second. I need to cover off something quickly, though. WhatCulture.BigCartel.com if you want to order this book and the 606 wrestling matches to see before you
and
die.
Other, and many other great products.
And many other, the NXT book that you wrote a few years back as well, Sige. But we need to clarify one question people have had regarding delivery of these books.
Yes, this will make more sense if you're in the UK than if you're international. But if you're in the UK, you're well aware that like everything's on fire at the minute. Like, just we had a random week where you couldn't buy crisps for some reason, yeah. And nobody's going to get turkey for Christmas. But that being said, as with delivery, we initially said order it by this day, and we will get it wherever you are in the world. We will get it to you by Christmas. And as things stand, that is still the case. We had a margin for error. Did another podcast before. I couldn't remember what the word for margin of error. I was honestly about 5 minutes. I was like, gap of something. Anyway, we had a big margin of error. Our printers gave us a set of deadlines. Please, proofs by this point, this by this point, that by that point. We've hit all of those. Somehow we hit all of those. I'm still not quite sure how we got through them all. But they've had a bit of a delay on their end, which has pushed things back ever so slightly, but it's only pushed it into our margin of error. So as it stands, everything is absolutely fine. If you wanted it before Christmas, you are still getting it wherever you are in the world before Christmas. But we are right at the edge of that now. So any more delays, then it might push it a little bit back. Or if there's any problems with postage in your country or in your area, that might push it a little bit back. But as it stands, we're good. And if there's any change to that, we will let you know.
Pando notwithstanding.
Yes.
Pando notwithstanding, if you order it, you get it before Christmas. But,
pandemic.
But the Pando is withstanding, so...
What culture?
It's worth the bloody wait.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I would say, by the way, if you're hoping to give this to a loved one or a friend for Christmas, and you just give them a little piece of paper that just says, Michael Sidgwick's book, soon, the little face they'll have lighted up regardless, I think it would work.
WhatCulture.BigCartel.com. You can get even signed copies by Michael Sidgwick as well, if you so desire.
I should probably point out as well, not just saying this for a bit of marketing spiel, because you can go back to the other video, I didn't say it in that one, this will sell out. The run we've got on it, we actually got twice as many as we thought we were going to need, and that wasn't enough. That is genuine. It's a testament to how much interest is in the promotion, and also I think how good the NXT book was. Like, obviously people know how good.
Very over
is
on Twitter
be.
As well, at M Sidgwick.
Yep, something like that. I would say if you do want it, probably do order it soonish. We're not in any danger of selling it before this video goes out.
Yes.
I think.
Depends when it goes out.
Yeah, but so. it will eventually, so.
One final question then, you alluded to it there. Can we expect a sequel, and what would you hope to cover in that, if that's the case?
Oh, we're talking years down the line. Years down the line. And because it hasn't happened yet, I can't really answer that question. But what I can answer is what is included in the book as one last selling pitch.
Yeah, what readers can expect.
Full context behind why it was so improbable and then in turn such an improbable success. All the factors that led to the formation of AEW, and then a full analytical breakdown of why it succeeded on an artistic and commercial level for those two quite seminal years, like ridiculous highs, quite dire lows, but they were few and far between. It's very passionate. It's very insightful. Look, I'm not Dave Meltzer. Nobody can equal his mind for the business. It's not really a number data-driven book. You've got the Wrestling Observer for that, and Dave Meltzer would do a much better job than I could possibly do with it. It's not a tell-all, because there's no real big controversies that have resulted from AEW so far. If you look at its two-year history, the locker room morale, how happy everyone is to be there, how ecstatic everybody is to watch it, it's not a tell-all. It's not a dry, data, numbers-driven book. It is a passionate, hopefully insightful look at the creative process, what went behind it, how successful it's been, how intricate it is, how important the range of professional wrestling and the revived spirit of professional wrestling is, and how genuinely euphoric it is to see on the big time North American televised stage after, 20 years of just bland, polished, sterile purgatory. The thing with AEW, just as one last closing statement, is that for 20 years, or like 18 years, 2000 WWF was the tits, by the way. Everything after that, for 20 years, people were like, God, there has to be a better number two. there's got to be an alternative to this. And in people's wildest dreams, they might have, at one point in the mid-2000s, thought, what if Paul Heyman goes to TNA? That's what people were clutching to at one point.
Yeah, I remember.
What if Paul Heyman goes to TNA? What if there's a billionaire investor who realizes there is a market for this? What if the booking made sense again? What if unscripted promos came back? What if the wrestling wasn't so regimented and homogenized? For me, personally, and for a lot of ardent fans, AEW has answered that question, went, well, actually, lads, here it is. And I hope I've done justice to the fact that genuinely it's a pipe dream fulfilled for a lot of fans. Not without its flaws, I go two-footed on certain things.
Not much better of a sell than that.
Well, I completely agree with everything he says. A lot of people were clinging on to that, but some of us started a promotion, my friend, so be the change you want to see in the world. I should say, on top of all that, that is all true, but also, in general, books are just good. Like, I know it's a weird thing to say for someone who works on a website and a YouTube channel, but yes, genuinely, I love books. Books are amazing. You should read more books. You should own more books. And this is a very nice book to both read and own.
Whatculture.bigcartel.com if you want to get your hands on it. Yeah, if you do order it now, it will be there in time for Christmas. And I said you can get signed copies and order a multitude of other books. The NXT book.
Touch the wood.
The NXT book, Development Hell, that Sid wrote previous to this, and the 606 wrestling matches to see before you die is available at whatculture.bigcartel.com as well. Let us know your thoughts in the comments section below. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. And if you're a fan of AEW, we cover that on a weekly basis there, of course, as well. You can also let us know your thoughts and Twitter questions on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there, follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
MSidgwick.
You can follow Adam Cleary at
Adam Cleary. At Adam Cleary. Yep, that's, yep. Yep, you got it.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. WhatCulture.bigcartel.com is the place to go. This has been Get the Table. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. To Adam Cleary, thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.